This podcast is brought to you by Wise, the app for international people using money around the globe. With the Wise account, you can send, spend, and receive in over 40 currencies with no markups and no hidden fees. Whether you're sending pesos across the pond, spending reals in Rio, or getting paid in dollars for your side gig, you'll get the mid-market exchange rate on every transaction. Plus, most transfers arrive in less than 20 seconds. Join 15 million customers internationally. Be smart. Get Wise. Download the Wise app today. T's and C's apply.
True North Stores beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy 6 Celsius Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1-liter flavors and get the 7th free. Whether you are craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got a drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy 6 and get the 7th free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Springtime's the perfect time to turn the page and refresh your home style. The only problem? It can be expensive. Luckily, there's a better way to shop well-worthy pieces for less at Bob's Discount Furniture. Bob's negotiates with manufacturers to get you the best everyday low prices, giving the shopping power back to you. The power to get more style, comfort, and quality for less on amazing pieces like stylish mid-century dining sets made for hosting those big spring brunches, pop-up sleeper sectionals with all the bells and whistles so you can turn any room into a guest room, and next-level Bobopedic mattresses so you can get a great night's rest after you've finished redecorating every room. So, when you're ready to spring into new style, stop into your nearest store or shop online and see how you can get wow-worthy style for less with Bob's Discount Furniture.
Podcasting from the top of the rocks. This is News on the Rocks with Patty Steele.
So I have my pal, John Elliott, here for this post-pandemic. Is it post-pandemic yet? It's not.
I think that's the problem.
Yeah.
Number one, what's it going to be like when it's post-pandemic?
And I don't know.
And we're nowhere near post-pandemic.
I think post-pandemic is like 10 years in the future. Unless there's a new pandemic.
Well, let's see now. According to Duke and Harvard, it's 50 years in the future.
50 years in the future?
Because they're saying the economic depression and job loss will cost more lives than the virus, and they're looking at a 50-year arc.
Oh, so this is great. The whole idea was that we begin to try to feel better, and now I'm realizing 50 years in the future when I'll be like 312 is when I can finally start to like ease.
I think they just are they're concerned because then they look in the arc of history of the depression, of recessions. You know,
right.
They have these economic benchmarks, and then you think in terms of decades instead of months or years.
Right.
And so 50 years after the Great Depression, here's what we had. They think 50 years from now, we will still have the scars of this pandemic.
Oh, I totally believe that. I mean, I grew up with parents who were children in the Depression.
So did I.
And they never got past that.
Never
got past it. Their entire lives, everything, every financial decision, love them. They were the most beautiful, wonderful,
thrifty,
positive people. But oh my gosh, my dad, it was like, why do we need a new couch? Can you sit on the couch we have? Yes, daddy. Then we don't need a new couch. You know, if it's a TV, can you turn it on? Can you see a picture? We don't need a new TV.
But don't you think it's interesting now,
right,
when so many of the talking heads are saying, well, people need to spend more money. People need to spend. Well, wait a minute. You told them to not work and to stay home and not spend money. And mm-hmm. now you want them to spend money.
Right.
So there's already this economic incentive. They're trying to incentivize everybody to spend, spend, spend. But you wouldn't let them open restaurants for how many months?
Right. Or stores or anything.
Yes.
Yeah.
So as far as, are we over the pandemic now?
It's a panic. It's kind of funny because you and I started talking about this in the aftermath. I did a couple of podcasts recently. One with I describe him as being my Mick Jagger, Ken Burns.
Oh, yes, that guy.
I love him. And one of the things I recognize about his artistry is that it comes from a really painful, he doesn't even consider that he had a childhood because of the difficulties he went through as a kid. And to me, that informed the sensitivity with which he makes documentaries. He looks very deeply at how people are and how they've become who they are. And so that was one. And then I did another podcast with this young woman who did this movie called Pink Skies Ahead. And it was her own real story about dealing with anxiety and panic attacks as she was growing up. And the more I talk to people, the more I realize that everything that I've been feeling for the past, especially in the last, during this winter, I think getting snowed in and never leaving the house and having even to work from right here in my basement just began to take a toll. I'm not a depressed person, but it got to the point where I was having, you know, kind of like end of life dreams, and I stopped communicating with people. I stopped doing any social media, which, you know, is not good in our business. You got to do it. And I just, I couldn't, because I was afraid all I was going to share was upset and sadness. And it, and I finally realized, actually, my daughter said to me, Katie said, you know, if you're feeling that way, imagine all the other people who are feeling that way. And I think I was telling you that I saw that the CDC said 40% of Americans say they have suffered some kind of mental upset or addiction issues since the start of the pandemic. So we're not alone.
2 weeks ago, I had a dream. I was on a live shot for television, which is what I do a lot now. And my photographer had gone around the back. The detail in this dream was amazing. It's one of those like, oh, this must really be happening. He went to get another monitor, and a vehicle raced by, and I was shot four times.
What?
In the arm, twice in the arm, both arms. They got one leg bad, and a real bad shot in the gut.
Oh, my gosh.
So I go down, and some of them are just flesh wounds, but the gut, that was, the bullet was lodged.
Could you feel, do you feel anything?
Well, the dream, I'm like in the dream, and I'm watching the dream, but I'm part of the dream.
It's more shock than anything.
And in my ear, we wear earpieces. Unlike you guys wear headphones, we wear these little tiny earpieces.
Right.
They get in my earpiece, and they're saying, what happened? What happened? I said, a drive-by shooting. They said, well, can you go live? So they're telling me. So I said, yeah. So then my photographer is still trying to dodge bullets. He comes around and stays low. I'm on the I'm bleeding out, but I'm on the ground. But I'm still, I do a 2 minute live shot. And then they said, okay, well, thanks, John.
Were you talking weather or shooting?
Oh, it gets better. I'm doing about, you know, time of day, what's going on, where I was shot, what we're doing that. All right, John, we'll be back in just a bit. And I take care. And they go to break. They go to break. And in my ear, a director says, hey, while we have you, can you record a weather for us? So I'm bleeding out, and I can remember saying, all right, I'm going to need a radar, and I'm going to need an area highs, and let's just go with a 7 day to keep it short.
Holy
so I'm
crap.
Losing consciousness, but I managed to get that 7 day forecast.
You did it, baby.
So I'm wondering if I have any work stress. You know? All these dreams and just the feelings and what you kind of catch yourself thinking. It's like, whoa.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like you feel like, and I think, you know, I don't recall feeling like I was being shot or stabbed or anything, but you do. You kind of like, you play over in your mind like, really, what am I worth?
Oh, absolutely.
Like, what do I really mean to anybody? Am I just a product? And I'm not just, talking work. It's like in your whole life.
Yeah, like, what's it matter?
What do I matter to anybody else? Yep. What do I matter to myself? Yeah. And I think that a big part of this is isolation. We don't get that, you know, like, I walk into the office every day when we're at work, which I haven't been in 14 months. I walk in and I see Mike, the guy in the lobby, you know, and it's like, good morning, Miss Patty, and just warm and happy. And you get all these tiny little bits of love and warmth and affirmation. And you're not getting that. I mean, you get a little bit of it in the house, but not so much. It's like you go upstairs and they go, hey, what's for lunch? You know, or, you know, and I think that eventually it takes a toll on all of us. And in fairness, knock on wood, we both still have jobs.
Yeah. Think of these poor people that have lost work and
and have children to raise.
Yeah.
Trying to eat. trying to stay healthy.
Yeah.
The fear trying to take care maybe of older people in the household.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
No backyard to go out into.
Right, right, right. Let alone having, you know, if you're sick.
Right.
If you have been dealing with any kind of illness.
Yeah.
But I think the other thing, too, though, is that we may be isolated, but we still have TikTok. This, and some of the things you're seeing, that social media is like, I have to just stop.
Right.
I have to just stop looking at it, because I will find that I'll just be scrolling and it's like 20 minutes later, it's like, why am I even doing this?
Well, see, that's what happened to me. I stopped and of course, you know, that's not good in our business. My bosses would prefer that I do go on social media. But again, you know, I go back to the idea that I thought, well, I'm just going to be expressing because I tend to, when I do go on social media, I don't kind of just say, oh, you know, here's what my puppy did today. Sometimes I do. But mostly what I do is I wait a little longer between posts, but I do, you know, kind of heartfelt stuff.
Right.
And I didn't want to bring people down.
Yeah.
Because it's like,
so you're either going to be honest and bring them down, or be fake and not be true to what you want.
Right. And then it's not going to be real.
Yeah.
And so for me, it became easier to just not do it. And it also became easier to, avoid phone calls.
Yeah.
Because friends would call and say, how you doing? And well, okay, do you really want to know how I'm doing? You know, and you don't feel like you have the right to complain.
Yeah.
When everybody else is going through not only what you're going through, but probably much worse in many cases.
Yeah, a dear friend of mine, a 13-year-old daughter, tried to commit suicide.
Oh, my God.
And so now that girl is in a facility, you know, 1,800 right. miles away from, or maybe 600 miles away from mom and dad.
Right.
And it's this, you know, it's a 6 to 9 week program.
Oh,
I had lunch
baby.
Today with a friend in the business, her 14-year-old son. Somebody got the phone, was looking at the phone, which I think parents should.
Of course.
I don't mean to say snoop, but I mean, you need to be curious. Yeah. And he had done all these Google searches on best places to commit suicide in New Jersey.
Oh, my Lord.
Now, what's a parent... Now that then the parents like,
what do you do with that info?
I've got a crisis with the kid,
right?
So mom and dad therapist, but then also it's like, well, what did I do? And so then it's just snowballs.
It's kind of funny, you know. And I, you know, I've been very open about the fact that I went through really serious addiction with my son some years back, and you know, knock on wood, he's doing incredibly well. But you do kind of feel like you need to watch them, not just because a lot of times that depression, that anxiety can lead to serious addiction problems, because it, unless you realize what you're going through, that desire to self-medicate can be really powerful, and not just for kids. But for all of us.
Yeah, I mean, 40%. And I think that 40% number might be low. I mean, and I don't see it dropping off.
No.
Because, you know, things are just changing and morphing.
Well, the important thing, too, is that you do share it. It's a funny thing with mental illness, and honestly, things like addiction are really a symptom of mental illness, whether it's anxiety, depression, panic, all kinds of things that impact us, that we really feel like somehow we need to soothe ourselves through whatever it is we choose. I remember, you know, when I had breast cancer, it's like you talk about it and everybody's, oh, what can I do for you? Oh, you're so brave. You're so wonderful. You talk about mental illness and people kind of like,
still stigmatized.
It's stigmatized, and it shouldn't be,
because
if you look at those numbers, you know, the CDC, 40% of people feel like they have gone through some something, you know, involving mental illness, just in this year alone. Clearly, this is something bigger than just somebody who, you know, in our minds has some kind of craziness going on. It isn't. It's like any other illness, and it deserves attention and it deserves to be treated. And some of the treatment, you know, I know for me, we talked about this a little bit. Nature is a huge sort of, and I don't want to say a balm because that would indicate that it just soothes you for the moment, but I think it's really healing.
Yeah.
And I've been reading more and more about that. I get this email every single day from this guy at the New York Times.
Wow. This guy at the New York Times just emails you personally?
Yeah, along with thousands of other followers.
Oh, that's how it works.
Sam Sifton, he's really great. And yesterday he sent this email that made me almost cry. He said, "Good morning. How are you? I drove out to the woods the other day before dawn and was in them as the sun started its ascent. I walked in silence that was not silent at all. Bird calls, wind in the canopy, the splash of my boots in a puddle. I was hungry as I walked, but not unpleasantly, so I thought about breakfast possibilities." And he went on and he talked about different things that he kind of daydreamed as he walked. And he said, "I was there for about an hour, a child of the city, deep into nature, thinking about diners and coffee carts and appetizing stores. And for the first time in more than a year, I didn't think about the pandemic at all. It was great, and I hope you get this chance sometime soon, early in the morning or late at night, to walk maskless and purposeless, spacing out about food or whatever it is that turns you on. You can do that on a city street, a beach, a suburban roadway in the desert. It's pretty darn enjoyable." And I realized that, you know, that it is, like, you can get through pretty much anything if you can just get out. They call it forest bathing. Just get out there and just breathe and feel the breeze, feel the wind. I think that is just such an essential part of all of this.
Ironically, I was at a, we had our little pod, which, you know, has helped a lot. The
right.
People that, you know, we know, you're either tested or vaccinated.
Right.
And so one of the women, and, you know, you find out more about people.
Right.
Is in the therapy business, with works with kids. And she says that is an example of mindfulness.
Yeah.
So to take a hike in the woods, you know. And so she said, "Well, here's a good trick. Do 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Your five senses, and you just think of five things you see, four things you hear, three things you think, and just methodically go through it, because all of a sudden it just gives your mind a task to do.
Right.
And you can either be laying in bed, or I could be looking right now, like my five senses. I see a guitar. I see some weight machines. I see, you know,
my basement.
I'm smelling. There's no water damage in this. I'm smelling. And then she said another thing to do is just list.
Yeah.
But you have to pick a topic and then list. So sometimes if I'm just so stressed out, I try to think of how many cars can I name? Acura, Audi, BMW. And then all of a sudden you just get lost in a list.
Yeah.
And then everything else just goes away.
You know what's amazing? This is exactly what I have done in times of great stress in my life. I would lay in bed at night, and I remember somebody saying to me that, okay, for the next 15 seconds, I want you not to think about elephants. Well, then all you can think about is elephants. But if you start thinking about every other possible animal, dogs, cats, turkeys, pigs, cows, goats, you drive the elephants out of your head. And that has been incredibly valuable. Yeah. It sounds so goofy.
I know.
But it really works because the thing that is obsessing you suddenly is forced out. It doesn't have any room.
Right.
But I think, you know, I think the whole nature thing, do you know who John Muir is?
Oh my gosh, yeah. Photographer.
John Muir is the father of the national park system.
But he did it through photography.
Right.
You know,
100 years
yeah,
ago.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I read to him all the time, and there's many, many things he says. In every walk with nature, one receives far more than he seeks. The clearest way into the universe is through a forest wilderness. Everybody needs beauty as well as bread, places to play in and pray in where nature may heal. I went out only for a walk and finally concluded to stay out till sundown, for going out, I found, was really going in.
Mm-hmm.
I love that because it's so true. You go out and you sense your place in the universe and in this beautiful, really beautiful earth, nature, And you suddenly realize that this is who I am. Mm-hmm. This is what I'm a part of. And it really puts things in perspective. I know it's hard, and I feel like, you know, that it's almost a first world kind of way of looking at and dealing with issues and problems. But it really isn't, because wherever you are, somewhere there's a blade of grass, there's a tree, there's a butterfly, mm-hmm. there's a, you know, a snowfall, there's a little bit of rain. All of those things, if you really take them in mm-hmm. and don't just kind of blow them off and think, okay, it's raining, yuck, but look at the beauty of yeah. rainfall, those kinds of things can really begin to soothe you.
There's always a sky.
Yeah, yeah. You know? There's always a star.
Yeah.
You know, there's I that's kind of been my my saving grace through all of this is sometimes I just walk out the door and it can be icy cold out, but I smell the ice and the cold.
Yeah.
Or I walk out now and you know, look at
fantastic.
Look at the color of a tree now, that soft baby green, and know that it gets deeper and denser as yeah. the season goes on.
With that nice sheen of baby green that is
yeah.
pollen covering your black car.
Yeah.
And it's just like John Muir would love this moment.
Yes, he would.
At the car
He'd take
wash.
Pictures of
yes.
it.
Yes, in black
would
and white.
It would take him a long time yeah. in those, right?
So another thing I've kind of gotten into, which is weird, is mm-hmm. Stoicism. You know, the Greeks.
Yeah.
Let's hear it for the Greeks. The
Stoics.
And, you know, they have memento mori, mm-hmm. which is remember, mm-hmm. we all die.
Yeah.
So you
Ooh,
have to, yeah,
yikes.
I know. But in that regard, though, if you know it is going to happen.
Right.
You know it's going to happen. You have to live today.
Yes.
Carpe diem is also
diem.
From the Stoics.
Yeah. And from the Dead Poets Society.
But, you know, if you look to history and they were about getting up and seizing every day because
yeah.
you will die.
Yeah.
And that's how you have these great, and then all of a sudden you find yourself reading about Alexander the Great and Aristotle and all these cats, and it's like, oh, interesting, you know? The kind of stresses of life have always been there.
Right.
Century before century before century, and different groups, you know, overcame in different ways, and you kind of glean.
Yeah, you feel, it's interesting, because again, it speaks to feeling perspective about your
yes,
life.
Yes.
You feel connected to history. You feel connected to nature. And really,
yes.
that is really what it's all about, is when you can put some perspective, when it isn't just all about me and what I'm feeling,
right,
but kind of
right.
understand that not only are there an enormous number, the world is feeling that
yes,
way,
yes.
but people in the past felt
yes.
that way. And it does put it in perspective and allows you to begin to you know, work it out in your head.
The late, great Malcolm Forbes wrote a book. Uh-huh. I'm sure he wrote many books, but he wrote a book called They Went That Away. And it's a real, you know, page-turner, because it's all of these famous people and how they died.
Yeah.
And so you think, oh, it's morbid, but it is so fascinating.
Right, right.
And you think, wait a minute, Mozart, what? He was
yeah.
broke and died, and they don't even know where he's buried.
Right.
And some of these great, you know, the great and the proud made mistakes late. Let's
sure.
In
sure.
life, you're either an example or a warning. And so you read that and you
Oh, that's interesting. I like that. You're either an example or a warning.
You want to live your life to be an example,
yeah.
not a warning.
I was at a funeral for a very dear friend within the last month or so. And the minister during the service said, he said, you know, I have a bumper sticker on my car. It must be a very big bumper sticker, because it said, live your life in such a way that your minister won't have to lie about you at your funeral. And I thought, oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Live with a sense of joy and purpose and celebrate every
yeah.
day. Carpe diem.
Yeah.
It's true. You know, it's funny. I have like a list on my phone. I've told you this before, of affirmations that help me. And one of the things that I have is a quote from Maya Angelou. And she said, you may not control all of the events that happen to you, but you can decide not to be reduced by them.
Ooh.
And that is really powerful to me, because it says, we're not going to be able to avoid this shit. You know,
yeah.
we're going to go through it. We're going to.
Can you say that on a podcast?
What, Maya Angelou? You know, you're not going to be able to avoid most things. I mean, that's life. It all crashes down on you.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's wonderful, sometimes not so wonderful. But it's how you process it and what you do with it, and then how you help other people learn from it.
Because I do think that the collective nature of the fact that we've all gone through the shutdown, the testing, the stress, I'm surprised we don't talk more about it. I'm surprised we aren't more open-hearted to everybody.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
we've all been going through it. But, you know, the macho, the I've got this, or it's not a big deal. But, you know, it's a big deal. It's a big deal.
It's a really big deal. And it's lasted for such a long time.
Way too long.
Yeah. I think that a lot of us thought, you know, when we were forced out of our studios back in March of 2020 that we'll be back by summer.
Yeah, 4th of July.
This is great. I'll go home. I'll spend the spring working at home and I'll be back. And here we are, you know, more than a year later and still sitting in my basement.
Yeah.
And still dealing with all of the limitations that come with what we've all been through. And frighteningly enough, we'll continue to go through most likely. And so I think we're just getting to that space where, okay, everybody's getting their shots and there's a little bit of opening up. Now we're saying, wait a minute, what's happened inside our heads?
Mm-hmm.
And where's that going to take us?
Yeah.
I look at my kids. My daughter graduated from college in my living room. She's been in, you know, she goes to American University. They're doing another graduation for the class of 2021 and invited the class of 2020, but can't really bring any guests because...
Is she going to do it?
Well, she's going down there and she and her girlfriends decided, they were like, you know what? We're kind of over it now. We all have jobs. We're living all over the place. They decided they were going to meet up. They hired a kid photographer from the school to come and meet them at the monuments at 6 o'clock in the morning on that Saturday morning. They're going to dress in their cap and gown. And they're going to and look pretty and, you know, get pictures done for that. And then they're going to go out to brunch. They're not going to, they said they don't want to sit there and walk across a stage. Can't have their parents there, you know, can't. Most of their friends aren't returning because some of them are, you know, that school is international. They're kids from all over the world. They're certainly not coming. And a lot of kids can't come for either financial reasons or they're working and they can't leave. So, you know, you worry about them.
University of Virginia is doing the same thing this upcoming weekend.
Uh-huh.
Of course,
that's when Katie's,
Elizabeth, I've got to go. And all her dearest pals, they're all going to go. Same deal.
Uh-huh.
Pictures.
Right.
One of the great proud traditions, and I'm sure founder Thomas Jefferson would be so happy, is they drink really early. They just go, but you know, we're not going to do that. We're going to do, you know, we're just going to do waffles or something. So they, like Katie, they've modified it a bit, but they are going to do it.
Uh-huh.
And then that better be it, because they never really got a chance.
No, I know.
High school kids, college kids, this has really had a very bad impact on all these kids.
It's interesting. My son, my youngest son is still in college, but his was completely remote. He goes to Rutgers. And so he went out and moved into a little house in Boulder, Colorado with his brother, who's also going to school out there. And he's taken this time doing, you know, online, and he's done pretty well to do things like go camping in the desert in Moab, Utah, and drive up into the mountains and do a lot of photography. And he's made it really all about nature, because it's something he really loves. So in that sense, I'm happy, but I'm sad for him that the whole college
experience
is
the networking, the meeting people, the expanding your mind.
Yeah.
No, you, it's all the, on a
the classes are not
screen.
The same.
No,
yeah.
No.
And honestly, they get through it much easier than if they were had to be in there doing it. So, yeah, you wonder long term, you know, how these guys are going to adjust and look back at their lives. But, you know, I think about my parents having grown up through the Depression.
Yeah.
And I look back and I think, you know, it definitely impacted them. But I loved who they were.
Yeah, true.
The only thing I would change is my dad maybe being willing to spend a little more money on my clothes.
Yeah, and it's like we started with the 50-year arc. Remember those guys? They had the Depression, and they followed it with a little thing called World War II, when the whole world could have come to an end.
Yeah.
And then, yabba-dabba-doo, it was the 50s. So we just need to get to the 50s.
Right.
We need to get big fins on Cadillacs.
Will the 50s come for us in the 50s or the 30s or 40s?
Let's hope they come in the mid-20s.
Right. Yeah, or the early 20s would be even better. Well, John Elliott, I love you so much.
Do you feel better for like doing this?
And yes,
for, like,
you're very cathartic.
Yeah.
You could charge me for this.
No.
You want me to lay down on a couch?
Well, that's after. You wonder too. Remember how like everybody was having sex and then everybody stopped having sex?
Yeah, no baby boom, they said out of this.
Wait a minute.
Wow, yeah.
So, and then you,
lots of breakups.
Yeah, that's another podcast.
That's another podcast indeed.
True North Stores beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy 6 Celsius Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1-liter flavors and get the 7th free. Whether you are craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got a drink for you. As a true rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy 6 and get the 7th free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
How would you describe yourself? Fun? Sporty? Bold? If that's the case, meet the Kia K4 hatchback, made for motion, adventure, and whatever you might decide to bring along. Or would you say you're more smooth, sleek, refined? If so, there's the Kia K4 sedan. Calm, confident, and ever so modern. Two personalities, two available turbocharged ways forward. The Kia K4 GT Line Turbo and the K4 Hatchback GT Line Turbo. What turbos you? Turbo is available on select K4 trims.
Breaking news from Good Ranchers. Over 85% of grass-fed beef in stores is imported. Most grocery store meat contains antibiotics, hormones, and harmful seed oils. Good Ranchers does things differently. All their meat is born and raised on local American farms. No antibiotics, no added hormones, no seed oils. Just one ingredient. Meat. Visit GoodRanchers.com and get $25 off your first order with code RANCH25. That's code RANCH25 for $25 off your first order. GoodRanchers.com. American meat delivered.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hi, I'm Kirk Cameron. Is health insurance eating up your budget for 2026? If you're looking for ways to better steward your finances, consider this. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a health insurance alternative at half the cost. As a ministry, CHM allows you to share the burden of medical bills with other believers. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/solution. That's chministries.org/solution.